First, well, you're the first one there. Michael asks, how do we differentiate conscious minds from subconscious minds? Well, now, I would have to know what you meant by conscious minds and subconscious minds. And if you mean by conscious minds and subconscious minds, our conscious body-mind reaction and our subconscious body-mind reaction, if that's what you mean, then that's an area we can go direct. But did you have a different meaning to this? You say, how do we differentiate conscious minds with an S from subconscious minds with an S, right? Yeah.
I was looking at, you know, things we do physically.
You were looking at what?
Things we do physically.
Physical?
Yeah, physical
activities.
Yeah, and like when we're in the dream, you know, some activities we do in the dream. When you wake up, you see, oh, I dreamt of this, I was doing this, I was doing that.
But it's in their subconscious mind.
Yeah.
Different from the activities you perform.
Well, your question then is, how do we respond subconsciously to our dreams and to our life? And then how do we consciously respond to our dreams and our life from what we understand we dreamed and had in our life? Is that something that you meant? Or I want to say what you want to say. Your question is a little difficult for me to understand what you want.
What I want, I actually want, because there was a little lecture, a bit of lesson you gave now, that was like things we do physically and how to connect it with things happening in our mind. Do you understand?
All right, Seville, what is he saying?
Internally.
He wants to know what you said before, whether what we are doing physically coincides with what we are thinking in our mind.
Yes, definitely.
He said yes.
What you are doing physically and what you are thinking in your minds, what you are thinking in your mind, all go in. So, in other words, if you are hitting the ball wrong and you are saying, oh, damn, I'm hitting the ball wrong, that goes in and that keeps you from ever hitting it right. And if you think in your mind, I can do this, I can hit the ball, I can make it move. And Herb says, I don't have to have it go in the right place right away. I just keep hitting it. And as I keep hitting it, my body will realign itself to hitting the ball in the perfect way to go where I want it to go. My body will do this intelligently by the subconscious intelligence, not by my conscious intelligence, but by my subconscious intelligence. And so all of the nerves and all of the movements and how I hold the club and how I approach the ball and how I do all those things, it all works out perfectly because I am doing it, you know, from my inner self. Now, this is the question and answer period of the first lecture. But now, from that, you say, how do we understand and how do we train or specifically make happen what we want to happen? How do we get our conscious mind to make our unconscious mind cooperate? And how does our unconscious mind cooperate when our conscious mind is not cooperative? Well, we get our conscious mind to cooperate. We get our unconscious, subconscious mind to cooperate, not unconscious, but our subconscious mind to cooperate. That's the aspects of our body that do things like the autonomic nervous system where we have no control over it, you know. but it works perfectly, you know. So long as you say, my autonomic nervous system works perfectly, it will work perfectly. When you start saying, my autonomic nervous system's out of the, on the blink, my autonomic nervous system's not working good, my autonomic, you just keep saying that, and you'll be in real good trouble. Because your autonomic nervous system hears this. It says, hey, I've been doing my best. I've been doing what I thought you want. You want something different? You want me to do not work rather than work? Okay, I'll not work rather than work. And, of course, if I stop working, that means adios, amigos, you know, you're dead. Because I'm not making your heart pump. I'm not making your blood vessels move. I'm not pushing the blood through your body. I'm not, you know, doing all the things that I do. So that's how, by using your conscious mind, you can benefit your subconscious, your autonomic nervous system. No. You say, when we have our autonomic nervous system, not autonomic, when we have our subconscious mind doing things to us that are not beneficial, how can we consciously change it? When we have our, when you get a cold all the time, you always get a cold, you always get a cold, you always get a cold. Nobody else has a cold, you get a cold. Now, there's nothing wrong with your body. The doctors have checked it. You got everything in you works good. And there may be some little thing that they don't know about, but basically, you're okay. So then you go to a metaphysician and or a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and theoretically they'll say to you, okay, you have a cold where nobody else has a cold. So I suggest you start saying this with your conscious mind. Sibyl?
Yes.
I suggest you say this with your conscious mind.
I am whole and perfect.
Oh, yes. I am whole and perfect. Now, I'm going to tell you two stories right now. This, the first one's on the autonomic, the subconscious mind, subconscious activity. Okay. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect, like Seville says. You are, with your conscious mind, putting into your subconscious system the idea that you're whole and perfect. Not that you're sick, which somehow you put in your mind and you get the experience. So now you want to be whole and perfect. So I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. You reiterate that. Reiterate it just again and again and again until you're blue in the face, you know, out loud or but mainly to yourself, not telling other people. Just to say it to yourself. And then this is what your subconscious mind is going to say. Your subconscious mind is going to say, hey, whenever it got chilly out, put on your clothes, put on your wrap, put on your fur coat, put on your muff, put on your overshoes and stuff like that. Do that, or else you're going to get a cold. Do that. You know, your mama said it, your grandma said it, everybody said it, all your life. Oh, you're a sensitive kid, you know, you're going to catch this stuff. And so you have this put into your mind. You know, most parents do this without meaning to hurt their kid, but they hurt the kid. So you say, oh, I learned a new technique. I am whole and perfect. Sibyl says, that's what she says, I'm whole and perfect. And that's why Sibyl has such a gorgeous, fabulous body, and that's why she's always so whole and perfect, you know? But I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. She says, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, as you say this, this is what's going to happen. Your subconscious mind is going to say to you, oh, you're 20 years old. All your 20 years you've been telling us that whenever the weather turns cold, you get a cold. Whenever it turns hot, you get a cold because, you know, you don't change between the two temperatures, right? And whenever another kid in the schoolroom coughs, you get the cold. You know, anybody else got a problem? You read about it in the paper, you get a cold, you know. That's you. And so you say to yourself, why? And then your awareness says to you, tell yourself that it's nice. Tell yourself you love yourself. Tell yourself you love your autonomic nervous system. You love your subconscious thinking. Tell yourself that you have a nice body, that you're a beautiful body. Stand naked in front of the mirror sometime and look at yourself and say, God, that's a good-looking body. That's a healthy body. You may have a tummy. You may have whatever, you know. But start appreciating it. Start loving it. Because it wants to be loved. If you don't have a leg, you don't have an eye, you don't have a this or that, muck nicks, it doesn't care. It wants to be loved the way it is. I mean, that's what you got to work with. And so, the sooner you start loving your body, the sooner your body is going to say, okay, I guess I'm all right. I thought I was bad because I didn't have an eye. I thought I was bad because I didn't have a toe or something, you know. And so, I like me, I like me, I like me. I live in my ideal of spirit, mind, and body. And then, that's not only that subconscious thought. It's all your subconscious thoughts. All your subconscious thoughts are now saying beautiful things about yourself. All your subconscious, you're telling it with your conscious mind. You're saying, God, I have a wonderful looking body. I mean, you may be no better than anybody else, but it's wonderful. And hey, man, look at my body. It works. Everything works. Everything works. You know, my legs work, my arms work, my head works. I work, you know. I function good. Yes. But have you done that recently? Have most people done that recently? No. You think that's stupid to stand in front of the mirror and look at your naked body and say, oh, you're beautiful. But do that. What did God do when he created everything on earth? He looked at everything and he said, Gad, I'm good.
Very good.
And then he says, you are good and very good. I created all things and they're good and very good. And can we think of ourselves any less than the divine creator thought of us? No, we shouldn't, certainly. So we start looking at our body and saying, I'm good. If you've got a problem with your foot, with your head, your nose, or any, you say, I'm home perfect. And you're kissing, 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 you know. And it sounds silly, sounds stupid, but then. When you kiss a child's knee when he fell down and hurt his knee, that knee is instantly healed. Now, what wonderful juice do you have in your kiss that did that, or your thought, or whatever it is? Well, it's changing the thought. This little mutt here, he loves to play his games. And so he's with me. And then I'm doing something else, and I don't take the time with him. So he goes over to his uncle. And he plays with his uncle. Oh, he snuggles up to his uncle. He wants his uncle to love him and hug him and stuff. And he'll play with his uncle. And then his uncle falls asleep. And his uncle says, you know. And then he says, well, okay, I will go do something else. Herb doesn't give it all to me, but at least he's given not falling asleep on me. And then I fall asleep on him. He'll go off and he'll realize he's got to do it for himself. But all the time when he's with his uncle or me or his mother or father or aunts, whoever he's with, we always say, you're a genius, you're fantastic. That's why his question is about what qualifies an ideal genius. You know, I mean, he's going to be 8 years old in a couple of days, and he's living in that sort of a consciousness. That's beautiful. Now, that's how you train the subconscious thinking to be beneficial to you with your conscious mind. Now, the second point I was told you, I would tell you. We've been teaching now for a number of years, almost 5-6 years, about what?
Stem cell.
Be yourself and have fun.
No, 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 that's true. But what? All right, I'll tell you. We've been teaching about stem cells. Stem cells are quite popular in all sorts of media and in all sorts of medical practices and things. And some people say that they're beneficial and other people say they're not. Well, every new program people find beneficial and not beneficial. So that could be. But the concept of the stem cell is this.
Stem cell.
Stem cell.
Stem.
Yeah, STEM cell.
Okay. Every
stem cell. There are cells in the brain.
Okay.
Every single day, you have, what was it, 10,000? Yeah, 10,000 stem cells born new in your brain. Every day, 10,000 new stem cells. Now, a stem cell is an undifferentiated cell. And an undifferentiated cell is a cell that has not yet been told what its job is. You know? These cells don't know whether they're going to go to the nose, the eyes, the ears, the brain, or whatever, but they're ready and can do anything. They are undifferentiated, and they are able to be put in any form. Okay, so now we have throughout our body stem cells born new every day, many more than 10,000 in the trillion, every day born new in our body. And these undifferentiated cells waiting to be told what to do. Now, that's a key word there. Waiting to be told what to do are in there. Now, you have been a naughty boy. You have been drinking too much, and you just got a little woozy. So you come home, and your wife says, lay down, rest. And in you, you think, oh, I'm terrible. And so the new stem cells are born in your body. And they come to your awareness, and you don't know it. And they say, okay, hey, Dad, here we are. We're born. We're ready to go to work. What do you want us to do? And you say, oh, figure it out for yourself. I'm too tired. I'm too knocked out to do it. And they say, okay, we'll play with the rest of the kids. Well, the rest of the kids are other cells in your body that are doing good things. But like, it might be a cold in your body. It might be a nose that's not functioning right. Or it might be anything that's not functioning right or is functioning right. And when these kids go and play with those cells that are functioning right or not functioning right, they will take on what those cells are doing and say, that's what they should do. See? Undifferentiated means they haven't been told what their job is yet. So when Seville has new undifferentiated cells join her body every morning, she wakes up and she says, attention! And all the cells of her body stand up and listen. Yes, ma'am? She says, well, here is the call of worship for today. Here is the activity for today. Yes, ma'am, whatever you say, we'll do. We're good Marines, you know. And so she says, all right, first, you are whole and perfect. Yes, ma'am. You will go throughout my body and you will make every other cell whole and perfect. You will associate with them, and those that don't want to become whole and perfect, you won't associate with them, and they'll die by atrophy. They'll just go away. But every cell will be a cell that says you're whole and perfect. Oh, yes, ma'am. And you'll be a vital, dynamic, alive. You'll be vital, dynamic, alive. Yes, ma'am. And you're wonderful. And if you get any opposition, check back with me before you change the program, because I'm not changing that program for nothing. I say, you're whole and perfect. We're all whole and perfect. Regardless of what yesterday brought, today we're brought whole and perfect. Now, you see, there's two stories. Your stem cell and your other kind of cell. What kind of cell is that? Your conscious cell and your subconscious cell. So your subconscious cells are all waiting to be told what to do, and you're too busy to tell them what to do. Oh, I had a hard day, you know. And you don't do it. Or you wake up in the morning, I'm too busy, I got to get to work. I got up late. And so they're waiting. And so with no one there to direct them, what happens to them? When orphan children are found, what happens to them? What happens to them is they go as with the rest of them. And so you have to be in charge of your body and your cells and your life and tell it exactly what you want it to do. Otherwise, it'll follow the rest of the group. I was walking in the park this morning here, and as I was walking around here, it was nice. And then I had my head down for a moment like this here, and then all of a sudden, right next to me was this great big man with a yellow sweatshirt on. And I looked up and smiled, and where'd he come from, you know? And then I walked around, then I came back, and there he was again. He was running out and stepping up on a bench, you know, doing the exercises. And I said to him, boy, you certainly have a paradise to do your exercises in. He looked at me. Nobody talks to me around here. Why are you talking to me? What you said was good. Thank you. Thank you. You know, he had to go. I knew I was reading his mind. I knew exactly what was going through his mind. He was not familiar with having anyone greet him with friendliness here, because usually there's nobody here. And I was walking around, having a nice walk, and I said, "It's a great place to do that, those exercises." And he had a burst out to, "Yeah." I'm sure when he went home, he was a different person, because the exercise did him good. But to open his heart to say that he likes himself and that, yes, he's doing good stuff, was the biggest thing. You see, wherever we are, we have time to say, yes, what I'm doing is right. What I'm thinking is right. How I'm acting is right. And the results that I'm getting are right. And we have to do that constantly. Or else, we forget. Now, sir, tell me how you drive a car. Do you drive a car by constantly saying, let's see, I'm backing up now, so I got to pay attention back there. I'm going forward, now I got to look forward. I'm looking off, the turning here, I'm turning. No, you don't. You don't say any of those things. Those are in your autonomic system. You drive and you have no idea how you drive. You put your car into a parking spot that's so big, and it always fits because you don't know what you're doing. You just know what you're doing. And you drive out on the road, and I must say you are unfortunate here in England. You drive on the wrong side of the road, and you sit on the wrong side of the car. You know, and how you can figure out how to drive safely, I don't know. But in America, in America, we don't have that problem. We drive on the other side. But how can you do that? If I were driving over here in Europe, in the United Kingdom, for just, let's say, a week, if I were really driving here, after 1 week, I'd forget how to drive on the other side of the road. I'd have to remind myself to do it. I wouldn't have to remind myself because I get in the car and the steering wheel's over there. So that helps to remind you. But the thing is, you acclimate so quickly to driving and other things like that. So imagine what you do when you start putting the proper cause in motion for yourself, for your perfect body. Nice, huh? Yeah. Did we more or less cover your question?
Exactly, yeah.
Good. Okay. So, now, since the kid isn't here, we'll take yours. She says, Seville says, in her Queen's English here, she says, I am not well. Herb, surely she didn't stop there, did she? No, she went too far already. She says, I am not well. And then she underlined not. And then she says, I am well. And I thought, well, all right. And then she says, I don't feel well. I am well. And then she says, how does this conform to the law of cause and effect, knowing not? Well, I wouldn't belabor that too much. You're in a ballpark where you don't want to be. The law of cause and effect does not know not, purely and simply because it does not. If I say, do not do that, what are you going to do?
Do it.
You're going to do it. You're going to rebel and you're going to do it, whether it's right or wrong for you or anything else. You're going to get all upset and say, I can do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. You see? So anytime you use the word not, it's a terrible word to use. Anytime you use it, you get in trouble. I will say, Christy, you may do anything you want to do, and you will be held for the consequences of what you do. If you're going to go around being nice to people, you're held for the consequences of what you're doing. Other people are going to start being nice to you. Other people are going to be really nice to you and love you and want to hug you and kiss you all the time and give you good things all the time. How about that?
Fantastic.
Huh?
Good. I'll do it.
No. You don't understand what I'm saying. I am saying, saying positive things brings positive results, okay?
Yes.
Now, if our friend here, the professor, the great doctor, if he were to say, I will not go with you. I will not help you. I will not listen to your problems. I will not do as you ask. I have too many things to do. I'm just going crazy with too many things to do. He would never say that, but we're having him say that. What would you think of him?
I just back off.
I'm sorry?
I ignore him.
You what?
I will ignore him and do what I want to do. I will
ignore You will him. Ignore him and he will do what he wants to do?
I will do what I want to do.
Oh, I see. Oh, now, you see, she's taking step two of this. Step one is our garbage. And step two is what we do with our garbage or anybody else's garbage. And what do we do with our garbage or anybody else's garbage?
Throw it up.
We ignore it. We throw it out. You said that. Here, I was running him down real, and you kept saying, I would ignore that. You see, we forget how to say these things. I would ignore it. Or whatever you want to say. And now, we said, too, Christy, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. The Queen of England takes her hairstyle from yours. She takes her complexion color from you. She just loves it. She likes to use the whole body color. She thinks it's just so beautiful, you know? Next thing you know, you're going to have a black queen here in Switzerland. In Switzerland, yeah.
In England,
yeah. And, well, why not? You know, okay, now, what do you say when I say that you got problems?
All in divine order.
I'm sorry? Say it, please.
All in divine order.
No, that's not what you say. You turn to that person and you say,
I reject it.
What?
I reject the suggestion.
I what?
You reject it.
No.
Exact?
Reject.
Oh, no. What were you going to say?
That's what I would have said.
Mm-hmm. What would you say? See, you said it loud.
I will reject it. I cancel it.
Okay, what would you say?
How wonderful. You have seen how beautiful I am.
Yes. When someone says something bad about you, you turn to them and you say, my goodness, you're observing. Thank you for doing it. Is there any other way? Is there any other way I can improve? And you will not take their negative comment as negative. Yeah. You will not even hear their negative comment. All you will hear is them saying something positive to you. Now, this person has never spoken to you. Now, all of a sudden, they're speaking to you, and you say, wow, you're talking to me. Wow. Hey, thank you. I'm so happy that you're talking with me. You know, and they're saying bad things. And then they say, well, I'm saying bad things. Oh, anything, just to hear you talk is such a joy. Because I've always loved and respected you and honored you all my life. I thought you were so wonderful. Well, you know, a few seconds of that, and the person will be all over you and say, they love you, and what can they do to help you? You know? They're your friend instead of your enemy. But if you ignore them, if you reject them, if you do everything, yeah, you're going to make them more your enemy, and then they're going to tell other people things about you that are not true, and then you're going to have to fight that. And that's not what you want to do. They're going to tell people, you're a bad driver. You're a bad chauffeur. You don't know how to handle a car. And you lose your job. You know? Now, they didn't want you to lose your job. They just wanted to push the button where it hurts. But they didn't realize that when they push the button where it hurts, you also lose your job. Because your boss is going to hear about that you're not a good chauffeur. And you're not a good driver. You're not a good, responsible person. So don't let any negative stuff float around anywhere on purpose, because you merely turn around and say to them, thank you. You're so thoughtful for, you know, noticing these things. Is there anything I can do to improve? Is there anything I can do to make my life? Hey, now, you know, I've been looking at you, and you've been my model. You've been my role model. You've really, and maybe in some teensy-weensy way, they might have been a role model. you've been my role model on how to tie shoes. You know, find something, you know. And before you know it, they'll be your bosom buddy and say good things about you and say it at the right time when it's raise time to get more money and stuff like that. But this is principle. Now, Sibyl is saying, I am not well. I am well. I don't feel well. I feel well. And by saying this here, she is confusing herself. Now, what she wants to do is always say, I am well. I feel well. I'm wonderful. I'm great. Now, if she ever allows herself to say why, or that she might not feel well, she empowers that. Now, she's asking how that can work with the law of cause and effect, how it takes away the term not in the law. We say, there is no not. I'm not going sailing today. That means you're going sailing today. Well, I am not. Well, you know, and then later you prove you do go, but that's too easy. But the point is, whenever you use not, you're going to have to suffer it. Would you like to go sailing with me today? I'd love to, but I have some other things I'm doing right now. If I get done with them in time, I'll give you a call, and maybe you're still not out yet, and I can go with you. But meanwhile, I have to get these other things done. Which is okay, I understand. I'm not refusing the opportunity. I love going sailing. I love to sail. I love to sail. I love to sail. And I don't want to not be asked. And the boy asks the girl, will you marry me? And the girl says, oh, I've been waiting so long for you to ask me. Oh, well, will you? Well, now I have to think about it. I've had four other offers, you know. Four other offers? Yeah. Are any of them that ones you think you might want? I don't know yet. I'll see. I should know by tomorrow morning. Well, what's happening tomorrow morning? Well, we'll see. We'll see. So she leaves the door open. She's coy, and she also knows that if this is true love, he'll ask her again in a much more gentle way, in a much more significant way. He'll ask her, instead of saying, I want you. You're my wife. You do everything I tell you, or else I'll kick your butt in, you know. I'll abuse you, and I'll mess you up, and I'll hurt you. You know, that's what a lot of guys say. And she knows that this guy could say that, but she also knows he has goodness in him, like she has in her. And she says, well, let's see. And so she treats while she's waiting for morning to come. She's saying, my best, most wonderful lover is going to ask me to marry him. My most wonderful lover, the person who is my ideal husband, my ideal mate, right?
Yes.
My ideal mate, the ideal man, even better yet. The ideal man has asked me to marry him. And she's got five asks, four and this guy. Five people. That's pretty good. She's quite a girl. And so the next morning, what happens? He comes and he says, you know, sweetheart, I was talking to my mother, and my mother said, if I am going to be so irrational, so tough on every person that I'm with, if I'm going to be so insensitive to the girls that I'm with, I won't stay married long, and I won't have a very happy marriage. So she said, I've got to take myself in hand and say, cool it. Unconditionally love everybody. Let her have all the privileges you want for yourself. Da 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 da. And he says, you know, my mom was right. I wish she'd told me that a long time ago. I'd probably bit her neck off if she had. But now I'm ready to hear it. Now, sweetheart, let's just wait another week. Let this sink into me. Because I know if you're the perfect one for me, and I know you are, 1 week will not stop it. And she says, you're right. You see, she didn't want to change him. Because to change him means that she has the attitude about him of how he is. But if he comes into the marriage as this beautiful, gentle soul, then it's a beautiful marriage. And that makes a difference in the world. So, are you a beautiful, gentle soul?
Yes, I am.
I think so. So, now you ask how the law would know, would not know not. Well, what do we teach? All things are possible.
Yes.
All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are positive. All things are positive. All things are positive. All things are positive. All things are possible. That's the way it is. There is no negative. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just walk back in space and time for a minute. Is God God? Whatever God is. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, is God all?
Yes.
Is God what might be called the negative as well as the positive?
Everything.
Everything. Is God the devil and the angel?
Everything.
Everything. Okay. Could God be not and be at the same time?
No.
No.
God is.
What's that?
God is.
Yeah, but it, he could not be no and yes at the same time.
No.
Yes. So in other words, not does not exist in the universal vocabulary.
Yes.
From that point of view.
Yes.
Just that simple, you know. It's not a theological thing or anything else like that. It's just, that's the way it is. So now, does the law of cause and effect operate from positive and negative?
No.
Only?
Positive.
That's right. That's right. Now you see, that's how simple it is and how perfect it is. If we would just think of all things in that simple, perfect way, we wouldn't argue them. And we wouldn't go into theology, and we wouldn't go into religions, and we wouldn't go into all that stuff and say, it's got to be this way, this way, this way. And nobody teaches that. Everybody teaches what we teach, and we teach what everybody teaches. Everybody teaches what? Unconditional love. Do you know anybody in the universe that doesn't respect unconditional love?
No.
How many practice it? Sometimes, you know. Okay, now. But everybody knows unconditional love. Does everybody know that non-possession is a beautiful thing? When you don't possess anything, you just enjoy everything. It's tough. It's tough, you know. Does everybody know that you don't judge another person?
Some do.
Hmm?
Some do.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. Then you say, yes, if you judge another person, then you will be treated with the same judgment.
Yes.
Yeah, so... And everybody believes in non-judgment, you know.
Yes.
Non-possession.
Yes.
And what are the other ones? One-pointed?
One-pointed. Untouched.
Huh?
Untouched.
All right. We'll take untouched first. When you got untouched, can anybody push your buttons ever?
No.
Can anybody ever speak badly of you?
No.
You will not hear it. You will hear it as them speaking good about you.
Yes.
You're terrible. You stink. Oh, I guess I better take a bath. I'm ready for more deodorant. Thank you. I was just going to go to this party, and I would hate to go to the party stinking. Oh, you don't stink. I was just trying to pull your leg and push your button. Well, I respect you because I trust you, and I know you'd always tell me the truth. Oh, Sybil, you know. And then they become best friends. The students that are my best students are the ones that give me the hardest time in the beginning. You know? And after they mellow out and walk their own way, they're great. And they stop giving me a hard time. Maybe they give me a hard time just for old time's sake. But that's life. I don't care. I'm untouched by that. Now what's the other one?
Unconditional love.
No, we had another one. One-pointed.
Yes, one-pointed.
And what's one-pointed?
Being focused.
Huh?
Being focused and being
Ah, focused. Being focused. So, does everyone believe that if you are focused on anything, you can achieve it?
Yes.
Every philosophy teaches that. So all these things which we have as our prerequisites for understanding, every philosophy teaches and every philosophy talks about. And, you know, son, we just got to your question. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it perfectly well. And the unconditional love, which is the culmination of all of them, if you can love yourself unconditionally, forget your past, live in the now. And if you can unconditionally love everybody else in your world, you're the greatest lover that ever lived. Everyone will respect you because you stand up for principle. You stand up for truth. It's pretty powerful. Right? Okay. Any other? All right, Mr. Ibube. You have a question here. It seems like someone gave you a hand in writing it, but maybe not. Did you write this yourself? Oh. What are the qualities of an ideal genius? Have you ever heard that? Well, they're put in your mouth. I've been told that this is what you asked. You asked, how do you... You asked, what does it mean to be an ideal genius? Now, Ibube, are you intelligent? Yes. Are you a genius? Yes. Now, can you say it with assuredness? Yes? Yes? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but say it or I'll hit you. Yes.
And let's see your face as you see.
Yeah. Don't hide behind the pillow there. But that's okay. Now, what does it mean to be a genius? I can't read his lips. What's he saying?
Say it loud.
An intelligent boy.
I say genius.
Intelligent boy.
You are a genius boy?
Intelligent boy.
Oh, my God! Of course! How could I have not heard that? He is an intelligent boy. Say it once again.
I am an intelligent boy.
That's what you said. If you say he, then you mean your uncle's an intelligent boy. But are you an intelligent boy?
Yes.
Why can you say you're an intelligent boy? Because when you say, I know, you know all the answers. Right?
Yeah,
you're willing to say that. Now, why would I say you're an intelligent boy? Why would you say you're an intelligent boy? Do you do intelligent things? Yeah. And are you associating with intelligent people? Mm-hmm. And do you think intelligent things? Do you eat intelligent fish?
She's hearing it. Don't worry. Just answer your question.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Now, are you happy?
Yes.
Oh, good! 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 Okay. I think we've done very nicely there. Thank you. What are the qualities of an ideal genius? The qualities of an ideal genius are, number one, you're not going to write anything down. Number one, the qualities of an ideal genius are the qualities that he is ideal and he is a genius. Now, what does the word ideal mean?
Finest.
You are your original purity and integrity.
Yes.
You are as you are originally planned and designed to be. Now, that's your ideal. Your ideal is not somebody else, but it's you, how you were designed in the beginning. Now, what does genius mean? Genius merely means that you are uninhibited, like him. You are uninhibited. You go out and you do it. And if I say to you, come, will you help me build this house? Sure. Ever built a house before? Nope. I learned fast, though. I know what a house wants to be. Four walls and a roof and windows and door and stuff like that. So that's no problem. We'll do it. And then what happens? I take, well, let's say, who's the doc here? I take, okay, thank you. I take okay, and okay says, I'll help you build a house. And so he said, but I've never built a house before. I don't know what building a house is all about or anything, but I'll help you. I'll give you my best. Now, he's a genius. Okay, so, and he's an ideal genius. And so I go home, and I get take care of all the details so we can build the house. Got all the materials. He goes down to the local carpenter union office, and he said to one of the carpenter's union boys, he says, who is your smartest boy here on building houses? And the guy says, oh, well, Joe here. Well, Joe is 99 years old, you know, but he's the smartest boy. Okay, so, okay, goes to see Joe, and he says, Joe, how long would it teach you to tell me the facts of how to build a perfect house? I got the design and everything now. He says, oh, just an hour or two. And what would you charge? Well, I wouldn't charge anything if you let me come and watch you do it. And okay isn't stupid. You know, he says, well, I will let you come and watch. So okay sits with him, learning how to build a house from the bottom up, learning all about hammers and nails and all about all the finishing tools that you use in building a house. And then he comes to me and he says, okay, let's go, Herb. I'll help you build that house. And I say, okay, fine. I have no preconceived idea. And so the first thing he says, okay, Herb, where's the plan? Oh, we got to have a plan? Yeah, you got a plan. We got to know how big it's going to be, what's the size. And well, you got a plan? Yeah, I got a plan here someplace. Yeah, oh, there it is. Yeah. And okay, now, how much lumber do we need? Well, I don't know. Well, let's figure it out. And so he's got that old man sitting there with him, you know. Who's the old man with you, Joe? Okay, who's the old man with you? Oh, my friend. And, oh, that's fine. Okay, so then they go on. And he figures how much lumber they need. He figures what the dormers are. He figures what the window sizes are. He figures what how much flashing and how much wood he's going to need. He figures out, oh, how much nails he's going to need. He figures out all the little details. And then they go down to the hardware store, and the hardware store says, you don't want to come here. Actually, it's Joe who said, you don't want to go to the hardware store. What did Joe want you to do? He wanted you to go down to the carpenter's store where they buy wholesale for their purchases, and he has a wholesaler's license because he is a full journeyman carpenter. So then you buy all the materials, but you buy it at wholesale price, which is like a third less, and which is quite nice. And then they offer you advice too. And they say, well, you know, if you like, we can tack that together right here and deliver it on site. All you do is just stand it up. Hey, that's not a bad idea. Hey. Gee, see how smart you are? And so they put it all together for you and tack it together and nail it together solid. And they bring it on site. Meanwhile, you call the concrete company. They came out and poured the concrete and
the base.
And did it all just perfect, you know. And then put the upright metal pieces up so that the 2x4 will fit in there and be screwed down to them. And then by noon, the house is in place and up. The roof is on. It's everything is all done. It's just the finishing work that has to be done. And I say, wow, I certainly got my money's worth in you. And but why? Why did I get my money's worth in him? Because I chose a genius. It's not that he knew all about carpentry, but he knew how to know things. And he went down to the Carpenters Union, and he talked to the guys, and he asked questions, and they gave him all the questions and all the answers. And this one guy sat with him and stayed with him. Well, that doesn't happen. Things like that don't happen. Yes, they do. That happens all the time to a genius. That happens all the time to O.K. Every time O.K. is dealing with his properties that he owns, every time he deals with the people that he has living in that property, he's always met someone just an hour before who knows these people, who knows the circumstances, and gives him some sound advice. And so when he deals with the people, he deals with them like a gentle person, stern, definite, gentle, and gets the results that he wants every time. But that's what happens when you hire a genius. You got the idea? Is he a genius? Mm-hmm. Who, is that your uncle? He's a genius? Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. He's a genius. Now, what about these guys over here? Are they geniuses too? What about
Michael
there? Give him the benefit of the doubt. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
You don't know him now, so he's a genius.
Oh, now let's know maybe a reason here. Michael?
Yes.
See, he may have an answer for us here. Michael, are you a genius?
Yes, I am.
Would you mind saying it so I can hear it?
Yes, I am a genius.
Now, is he a genius? See how easy that was?
Yeah.
All you had to do is speak up and tell the truth about yourself, the truth. And then people believe it about you. And if you go to your family and you say, I'm a genius, will they believe it? And they'll say, I don't know, I've seen you do some pretty dumb stuff. But you say, I'm a genius. You know, since I last did the dumb stuff, I've learned a lot, and I'm a genius, and I'm wonderful. And then they'll believe it. Why will they believe it, Mr. Michael?
Because they're, I said it. I love myself. I said it.
In the
now.
There's no past. Just in the now, without a past. And you love yourself right now as a wonderful, fantastic person. You see, and that's what it starts with. You see, I like me. I like me, and I'm happy, and I'm fulfilled, and everything is working great for me. When you say those things, then that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. And it works out so perfect. So perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Michael, did you have any other questions?
Not now.
Thank you.
Not now, but later. Well, you're welcome to ask him anytime.
I do.
You what?
Yeah. I do.
What? Candy?
You have questions?
Yeah, but no. I already know the answer now.
His question was spelled C-A-N-D-Y.
No?
No? Oh, I shouldn't say that? I'm sorry.
It was...
Candy.
Okay.
It wasn't Candy. I thought it was name Candy.
His name, Michael?
No.
Herbert?
Yes,
her. Okay.
Her.
Christy? No.
Are you a genius?
Hmm?
Are you a genius? Yes. That was the question.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay.